So a couple things that I want to talk to you about before I even go into the message. The first thing I think is imperative. The Word of God tells us to submit ourselves to the governing authorities. Do you know the Bible says that? And pray for all leaders, right, that God has put over us. And I don't know if you know this, but the United States has made a move by the leadership to, I believe, safeguard Americans with, you know, what's going on in our world. And so I want to pray, no matter where you stand, God calls us to pray for our leadership, for them to have the direction of God. Amen. So let's do that right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, I pray you be with President Trump, be with every person in leadership, Lord, that you have called for this season, for this time. I pray for wisdom from above. I pray, Lord God, for your providence to be upon them. And as the United States of America, Lord God, as I pray that we will humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God Almighty, and we will say, heal our land, but let us be a healing to other people. So just pray for our military. Pray for everybody involved, Lord God, and let our hearts be right as we navigate through this difficult time. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. How many of you think that's important? It's very important that the church leads the way in praying for those that are over us. The second thing is, in your handouts, there was a handout about a trip to the Dominican Republic. And this trip is going to be at the end of January of the coming year into February. And I would love for you to prayerfully consider being a part of the team as we go and help and embrace a school. It's a Christian school that was started by two God-loving, God-fearing individuals that wanted to make a positive difference for the glory of God internationally. And they started this school, and I could give you write-up after write-up of how this school has changed the narrative in that country in a positive way. And so as they did that, then they were called to Cuba, and they started a school in Cuba, which is changing the landscape of what they're doing and where they're at. And so I would love for you to consider going with us as a team at that time. And there will be an informative meeting coming up in July that we'll let you know about. And so I want for you to process and consider that, because I'd like for you to be a part. Now, we preface the message with that video, which kind of is a leadway into the pillar that we're going into. We've been talking about seven pillars of success, God's way. And we're in pillar four right now. And I am looking at pillars that I would have spoken to myself when I started walking with Jesus as very important, or maybe the most important things that you should have in your life. And we started out with, the first thing you should do is you should love God. Right? Because that's where you find genuine and authentic love, is in God. And then the second thing is, you need to discover your worth. Amen? Because you can't love people until you know that you're worthy to be loved yourself. And God loves you. And so we talked about discovering your worth, and then you're God's masterpiece. That's what the Word of God says in Christ. And then the third thing was, we need to love others, right? We learn from the Good Samaritan. Jesus told a parable about the Good Samaritan, how that the people that God places in your life are placed there so that you can make a positive difference for the glory of God. Amen. Now all those three pillars have been settled. We've talked about them. You've been able to process how important they are. If you haven't heard these messages, I would encourage you to go online and watch them on our online page. But today is one of the most important ones as well. Those are vital, but today's pillar is vital as well. If you've ever been in a building project or campaign, you know the importance of the permitting process, because you cannot move forward until you get the permits. We have a sign that we have ready to put up, and we have not been able to get the permits. And so it is not working real well yet, because we don't have it up. And we can't put it up. Well, we could, but we're not. because you got to have a permit. And so the permitting process is important because you can't legally build without getting the proper permit. And when you're building success God's way, there's a very important pillar that has to be in place in your life so that you can navigate through the complexities of life. Every time you have a conversation, there's a potential that that conversation can go good or it can go really bad. Amen? Every time that, see, the bad thing about being a pastor, that there's good things. Number one, I can be a messenger for Jesus. Amen? It's a good thing. The bad thing is that I can be a messenger for Jesus. And in that is sometimes you say things that people do not like. And I've said this to you before, I'm more concerned in what he likes about me than what you do. And sometimes you say things that people may not hear right. How many of you guys have ever, or girls, look at me real quick, everybody. How many of you have heard things wrong? Or how many times have maybe someone else heard you wrong? And they're upset. They're upset about something, and you're like, that's not what I said. And so the fourth pillar is vital. The fourth pillar is simply forgive. You have to have forgiveness in your life, or you'll never have success God's way. You will stay stuck in a narrative of hurt, past hurt, situations or circumstances that you have never been able to push through. And so there's triggers. How many of you know that there's triggers in our life that take us right back to that person, to that situation? And it could be a lot of different things. It could be abuse. It could be rape. It could be divorce. It could be an affair. It could be someone that maybe you perceive they wronged you financially. The list can go on and on and on and on. But Jesus, on the cross, as people mocked him and laughed at him, and the same people that pulled his beard out, same people that spit on him, on the cross, Jesus says, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." The whole premise of the cross is about forgiveness. The whole premise of a Christ follower is for us to walk in forgiveness. And that message is foolish to people that are not walking in the Lord. Did you know that? People that are not walking with the Lord, they hold on to unforgiveness. They hold on to bitterness. They hold on to the narrative of their past. And Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. He said, "The message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction." And let me tell you something. You're headed for destruction. You're going to a place, a destructive place, but you're already walking in destruction when you're not walking in the fullness of the cross. You're already living a destructive life. Are you with me? Because you're mad, you're hostile, you're bitter. So your life is all about the next trigger where you're going to be angry with someone because of something that's happened to you. He said, it's foolishness to those who are headed for destruction, but for us who are being saved, we who are being saved, we know that it is the very power of God. The cross is a very power of God. The cross is all about forgiveness. Today, God is going to be speaking to you, and he already spoke to me about the need of forgiveness. I had three conversations this past week. I have conversations all the time, but I had three conversations this past week. And in that conversation, even going into it, I knew this could go good or this could go bad. I knew it was a needed conversation. Because if I didn't deal with this topic or deal with this circumstance, then I would carry it And how many of you know that if you carry things and you don't deal with them, that if you suppress them, there will come an eruption eventually? And so you know you have to have a conversation. You just don't know how that conversation is going to go, because once you speak your piece, or once you speak your side, your perspective, it's up to the person on the other side to receive it or not receive it. It's up to that person to process, and maybe they're going to say, oh yeah, you're right, or I don't see any merit to what you're saying. And the potential is this. And I know that no one in here has ever done it. Spouses, you've never done it. You've never walked away upset saying, I can't believe they said that. I cannot believe they said that. And I know nobody's done this here. And you that are watching online, you've never done this before. Then 3 weeks later, a month, you're still carrying that. And you say, remember when you said. And so you're walking in the narrative of unforgiveness. And if you talk about it even 3 weeks, a month later, and you're still 6 months later, you bring it up again, you're walking in the narrative of unforgiveness. And that's not what God has for his people. What God has for us is that we're free from that narrative. We're free from not only accusation, but from that harm that was done to us. You're free from it, because as long as you carry it, it's still harming you to this day. So our family went through a very, very difficult situation very early in our ministry. And it was a bombshell that happened in our family. And as we navigated through it, we were in a fog anyways, beginning the ministry, but just that it exponentially made it more difficult to navigate through the early parts of ministry. And I'll never forget that we went through it, and it was difficult, and one of our children had been hurt in this situation. And I remember going to a trusted counselor years after that, and the Lord was still healing our family. And one of the things that was said is that not only was that son or daughter of you, I'm not going to just say that child of yours, not only was he violated, but the whole family was violated. And so that may be where you're at right now, is that you're still carrying that violation, but there has to be a time that you settle it. But you can't settle it on your own. You need to settle it with the power of God. Are you with me? So my prayer and my hope is that you will leave here today settling something in your life that has you stuck in a narrative where you cannot have the success that God called you to have. Are you with me? So that you can be an overcomer. And here are the effects, EFFECTS, or the consequences of unforgiveness. And if you guys have some of these consequences of unforgiveness, then it's going to relate to you. You get angry. You get angry because of a situation or even a thought of a person. You have resentment in you. Like, I can't believe they did this to me, right? You have unresolved feeling of hurt. You've never resolved it. You're still hurting inside. You have a feeling of abandonment. You're stuck in the narrative of the past. You bring up that past situation, circumstance, or that thing that's been done to you, even to this day, even if it was done 20 years ago. You have an inability to trust. Let me say this. I have been there. When I came to Jesus, it was my biggest hurdle in my life. And that narrative brought a lot of toxicity into my life. And it wasn't until I came to Jesus and he became the Lord of my life that I was able to find freedom through forgiveness. And so the effect, AFFECTS, the influence of forgiveness is this, is that you can have harmony with God and people. I say this to people that I'm talking to, and they're giving me maybe They're talking to me about a situation, and I said, harmony calls us to this. Harmony lets us look at people with a higher view than we do with disharmony. Like, I can't believe they did that. Harmony says, you know what? I'm going to believe that God is moving on this person. He probably or she probably didn't do it on purpose. You know why? Because I don't have any unresolved hurt. I can look at people differently. Are you with me? Because of forgiveness. Jesus on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They knew what they were doing. But Jesus took the high road. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Can I tell you why? Because their hurts, the things that they were doing to him, was not going to violate him. The forgiveness of God was going to set him free. And it sets us free. Peace of mind and heart. Unforgiveness is chaos in your head. Forgiveness is peace in your head and in your heart. If your emotions go 90 to nothing, if you're like here and boom, here, it's because you there's unforgiveness. You haven't resolved some things in your life. And so people walk in the door and you're like, oh, and you might not say something, but you know your heart starts pounding. But when you have forgiveness, you have peace. You also have calm in your spirit. You have calm. It's a beautiful thing when people walk in forgiveness because they're the calm in the chaos. That's what forgiveness brings. It's the ability to love again and to be loved in return. So there was a narrative in my life. There was something that happened in our family when I was growing up that I did not trust women. So with that narrative, I could never love Shauna like she needed to be loved because I did not trust her. It wasn't her that I didn't trust. It was going back to the hurt of what happened in my life. But here's the thing, beloved. Guess what? Jesus healed it. And I was able not only to receive love, I was able to love. And that love is a real love. It's a genuine love. And if you're in here and you cannot love or receive love, it's because you have unresolved unforgiveness in your life. And then you can recognize and you can overcome the triggers when you're walking in forgiveness. You know what's coming. You know where that's coming from. So there's a place in the Gospels, Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus teaches the disciples to pray, and we know this as the Lord's Prayer. And in that, he says something in reference to our topic today of forgiveness that is so important for us to grab a hold of. So I want us to read that. I want us to go to Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 15. And Jesus talking says, this then is how you should pray. This is how you should have dialogue with God the Father. He says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And most of us, we understand that prayer that God is transcends this sphere. So God is bigger than us. Amen? We're talking to a God who's in heaven. And holy or hallowed is his name. Your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. So what I know for sure, and Shauna talked about this, about how God has created us to worship. Can I tell you what's happening in heaven right now? There's worship going on. And it is unashamedly being done. The angelic hosts are worshiping the living God because he's worthy of it. And so we want for our life to become a life of worship unto the Lord, that his kingdom will come and his will be done here on earth. And then he says, give us today our daily bread. In other words, Lord, we're going to trust you for our providence. We're going to trust you for you to provide everything in our life. And you notice that it says, pray for your daily bread, because we need to trust God every day. If you have everything, then you say, I don't need God. I'm okay. But if you live your days saying, I need God in every aspect of my life, and thank you, Lord, for your provision, and I trust you for it today, that's what God calls us to do. And then the next one is where we're at, where we're going. And forgive us our debts or our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us or our debtors. And then he goes on, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. It's a recognition that there's an enemy in the playing field of life, and he wants to destroy your life. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. John 10:10. But Jesus came to give us life and to give us life more abundantly, right? And so then he says that, lead us not into temptation, deliver us from the evil one. And then look at this, verse 14. Why does he revisit forgiveness? Why didn't Jesus revisit, give us our daily bread? Look at verse 14. There's an emphasis on something that's very important. If you forgive other people when they sin against you. Why did he say that? Because I'll tell you right now what happens. We walk away from prayer and we walk into to relationships or conversations, and it hits us right in the face about we need to forgive or we're not going to forgive. He says, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And from that text, from that premise, I want us to look at takeaways of how we can find freedom in forgiveness, right? The first thing that I think is vital, because it's from the word, is we need to experience forgiveness for ourselves. I need to experience forgiveness for me. It's acknowledging that I need forgiveness. Forgive us our sins. Forgive us our debts. The beautiful thing is, no matter what you've done or how much you've done or the enormity of what you've done, there is forgiveness in the cross of Jesus. I'll never forget sitting in my office and a wife who longed for her husband to be set free from the chaos that was in his head. And he would trigger and he would blow up. And the whole thrust of it, I found to be true when he came and met with me. She said, can he please come sit with you? He sat right across from me in my office. And he said, Pastor, you don't know what the F I've done. God could never forgive me. The whole thrust of it was that he was in war, and he had shot people because that was what he was called to do. But he could not shake that from his head. He said, you don't know what I've done. I've murdered people. I've killed people. And I was able to share with him, it doesn't matter what you've done. The blood of Jesus is big enough to forgive you. And you may be in here, and you may be watching online, and you think that you've gone too far. You push the sin issue too far, and there's no hope for you. Let me tell you, as long as Jesus is alive and well, and he is, there's hope for you. You have got to confess that you have sinned, and you've got to receive the forgiveness that comes through Jesus. Paul writing to the church in Rome, because there's the pendulum goes two ways. The pendulum says, you know what, I'm not as bad as the person next door. That's okay for you guys. You guys need this God thing. You guys are pretty bad, but I'm okay. The reality is that none of us are good. And so in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it says, everyone has sinned. And we all fall short of God's glorious standard. Everyone. So if you're sitting here, you need to know, and I need to know, that we need the forgiveness of God. It's what's going to change the narrative in our personal lives. And so the second important thing about this is that there's an assurance that forgiveness is available to us in Jesus. There's an assurance. You can be assured that it doesn't matter what you've done. You don't have to live in that narrative of the choice that you made. And I don't know about you guys, but weekly there are things that I do because of, you know, I'm a burro, which I'm a donkey. I make choices sometimes that I'm not happy with. Amen. And there's an assurance. There's an assurance that God's forgiveness is available to me, and it's bigger than my whatever choice I've made, whatever thing that I've done, and I can walk in that. But if we, I love the Apostle John says this: if we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. So when you live your life thinking, hey, I'm okay, I'm not as bad as the person next door. Well, let me tell you, you might not be as bad as the person next door, but who's judging, number one? Whose judgment are you under? Who's looking at you, and what standard are you going by? Because according to God, we all fall short, right? So we're fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and he's just. In other words, he deals with it just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. And then the word goes on and it says, if we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our hearts. And in my marriage counseling, people that I've led and helped them through their marital difficulties, the ones that are the most difficult, the ones that usually do not make it, are the ones that want to be right all the time and think that their spouse is wrong. And so their narrative is, you know what, they're wrong, I'm right. And being right is not always right. Being right is understanding, Lord, I fall short of the glory. I have a part to play. And so I submit myself to your lordship, and I will become the person that will be humble and love my wife where she needs to be loved. Amen? We will never be perfect. But the goal of a Christian is to continually grow. Shauna talked about that when we were pouring into the children. We're called to continually grow and mature in the Lord through his forgiveness and grace. Let me say something that's very important. You cannot grow in your faith without walking in the forgiveness of God. You cannot grow in who the Lord has called you to be until you walk in that. We all fall short of the glory of God. But in Christ, I know that God is on my side. God doesn't kick me when I'm down. God's goal is for me to make it. He's not against me, he's for me. Craig Rochelle, wonderful pastor, he put it like this. He said, I'm not my past. I'm not what I did. I am who God says I am. And God says I'm forgiven. Your past tells you that you're not going to make it. Your past choices say, look at who you are. You're a drug addict. You're nothing but a drug addict. You're nothing but a unfaithful adulterer. You're this, you're that. And God says, you were that, but in Christ, you're a new creation. In Christ, you are holy. In Christ, you're his masterpiece, right? So if you're in here and you're self-condemning yourself, if you're allowing the devil to beat you up and you're thinking that you're never going to make it as a Christian, you need to stand against that, and you need to understand that for you and every person who trusts in Jesus, there is no condemnation. And the fact in Romans 8, 1 and 2, it says, now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. You can win in Jesus. And when I talk about win, I talk about success, God's way. So here's the second takeaway. Finding freedom and forgiveness comes through extending that same forgiveness to others. So that forgiveness that you received, you got to own that first. Amen? Forgive me my debts, Lord. Once you receive it, you got to give it to others. As we also forgive our debtors. I'm convinced that I continually need to afford forgiveness to others. Remember I talked about conversations that we have? So I get done doing a memorial service. I just poured my heart out. I preached a message in that memorial service. And I'm just, you know, kind of depleted. I have this conversation. And as I'm having this conversation with a dear person that I love greatly, they start to talk to me. And in my head already, I'm saying, you need to really process this. You need to process this. Don't let it take you places. Because you got to know this, that every conversation we have has a way to take us places. You can receive it with the Lord's forgiveness, or you can receive it by saying, "I can't believe them. I can't believe what they said." And in life, there's gatherings, there's situations where maybe people have left and abandoned you, or you feel abandoned, and you've got all these things happening in your life, and then God brings everybody together in a memorial service or a family reunion, and those people are there, and you have a conversation, and in your head, nobody knows, but in your head, you're processing, and you're saying, them stinkers. No, you're not. You're going, I know you guys don't do this, but other people do. And you have a choice. You have a choice. How are you going to handle it? You're going to handle it with the forgiveness of God? Or are you going to handle it by getting bitter? Have you noticed that in this world that there's a potential that you will get offended? We get offended by people. In this world, sometimes you feel like you got stabbed in the back, not by God, but by people. The gospel writer Luke put it like this, Luke 17, Jesus talking, it is impossible that no offenses should come. In other words, Jesus, who is the truth, right? He says, it's impossible that there will be no offenses in your life. They're going to come. But woe to him through whom they do come. In other words, woe to you if you're an offense starter. It would be better for that person if a millstone were hung around his or her neck and he were thrown into the sea. If you're someone that's always causing offenses, it is not a good thing than that he should offend one of these little ones. And then in verse 3, take heed to yourselves if your brother sins against you. It's funny that he says that. Take heed to yourselves if your brother sins against you, rebuke him, and if he repents, what do? Forgive him. And if he sins against you, here we go, 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day returns to you saying, hey, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. I repent. Then you shall what? Forgive him. Why? Because you don't want to get stuck in that narrative in offenses with people. And you may be there. You may be there right now. You may be stuck in that narrative with other people where you can't get past that threshold, and it's not allowing you to be successful the way that God wants you to be successful. Amen? And so you have a choice. You have a choice to do something about it. You have a choice to forgive. Look at how the Holy Spirit led the Apostle Paul, Colossians 3:13. He said, make allowance for others' faults. Okay, so that's important to me. So I'm having these conversations, right? Difficult conversations. And in that, if that scripture becomes a part of my life, then I have to make an allowance for people to maybe say things that I might not like. Make allowance for other people's faults. And forgive anyone who offends you, which tells me that people will. It tells me that every week there's a possibility that someone will offend me. Now, not at Living Word Chapel, because, you know, these people don't ever offend you. Remember that the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. And I think that is so important right there. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. So it teaches me, don't put unhealthy expectations on the people that God, that the people that God has placed in your life. Now, the secret sauce of offering forgiveness is simply this: because God forgave me, I can forgive them. If we can default to that, because God forgave me of all my sins, then I can forgive them. Are you with me? And if you're a child of God, guess who lives in you? The Holy Spirit. So you begin to understand that. Here's something important as well. So there are negative attributes that will begin to manifest themselves in our lives when we're not walking in forgiveness. And let me tell you what those are. Number one, you're gonna have the attribute of bitterness. You're gonna have the attribute of rage. You're gonna have the attribute of anger. You're gonna say things that are cutting, harsh words. You're gonna slander. Your behavior will change, evil behavior. Again, Paul writing to the church in Ephesus in chapter 4, verse 31 and 32, he says, get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger and harsh words and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other. And let me pause right there, because we did the memorial service yesterday, and I don't know if you knew Patty Evers, you knew that she was probably one of the kindest person that you'll ever meet. My wife asked her, as she was getting ready to go with Jesus, she said, Patty, if there's something that you would want people to know, what would you want them to know? And she waited a little bit of time, and she said, my wife went and visited with her again. She said, I have it. I have what I would want someone to know, and I want you to say this: be kind to one another. Love one another. Forgive one another. The Apostle Paul said, instead, be kind to each other, be tenderhearted, forgive one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Now here's your third takeaway. Is this helping? Is this helping? You know, do you know someone that might be able to benefit from it? Not you guys, because you have none. But somebody in your circle might be able to benefit. The third thing that will help us to find freedom and forgiveness comes through unlocking the restorative power of forgiveness. If you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. I'll never forget, and I've shared this before, and it's difficult sharing it because I think about my family in very high esteem. But we had a situation that occurred growing up, and my mom made a very difficult, she made a very bad decision in her life, and it affected our whole family, and it broke us. It broke us. I have two siblings, two brothers, and all of us were affected very negatively because of it. And I'll never forget carrying that for years. I carried that. But I wouldn't present it to people. But it was something that I carried, and it was toxic, right? Until I dealt with it. And when I did, first of all, when Jesus came into my life, I became a born-again Christian. He began to clean me from the inside out. And one of the first things that he had me deal with was, number one, forgiving myself for all the garbage that I had done in my life outside of him, right? But then the next thing that had to be done was I needed to forgive my mom. And I'll never forget that when I did forgive her, when I made that choice, it's a hard choice, and we'll talk about that in my next message. What are the acts of forgiveness, and what does it look like? But when I made that hard decision to forgive her, and I gave her to the Lord, I looked at her with a different lens. It was incredible. I loved her with a love that was incredible. Why? Because I was free from the unforgiveness and the harshness. And not only that, God had a plan. And years later, my wife and I ministered to my mom, and she poured her heart out on her choices in the past. And I never knew that she was raped by an uncle. I never knew the things that she had gone through growing up. I never knew all that. That caused her to make choices in her life. See, all of us have a past. All of us have things that have happened to us. All of us are carrying something, but there's a God who loves you, and he wants to free you from that hurt. There's a woman by the her name is Carrie Corrie Ten Boom, and she was in the Holocaust, and she went through some very, very difficult things. And she understood forgiveness. She understood that without forgiveness, without the cross, there's no way that you can navigate through the complexities and the difficulties of life. And Corrie Ten Boom put it like this: forgiveness is the key that unlocks the door of resentment. And it takes you out of the handcuffs of hatred. It is a power that breaks the chains of bitterness and the shackles of selfishness. But selfishness is just protection. Selfishness is just a defense mechanism that you're not going to let, you're just going to keep everything inside, because you're not going to let anybody hurt you. Bitterness is like a ravenous dog that lashes out, but he's protecting itself. All of us, we need forgiveness for our own lives. All of us need that same forgiveness for other people's lives. And when we own it, beloved, because that's what Christianity is all about. Let me tell you, Christianity has never been about you coming and sitting in rows and coming and listening to a message and then leaving and saying, oh, you know what, that was okay, that was really great. It's about you owning it and living it out. That's what Christianity is all about. Now, if forgiveness is not a pillar in your life, you need to make it a pillar in your life. It'll change the narrative of your success. It will give you success. And the reason that I say that is because I am a different person because of the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. When I get transparent and I get real with you guys and you gals, it's because it's real to me. This is not like some kind of oratory that I'm not an orator that's going to speak to you about things that I can read, but I'm not living. This is a reality. If you live it, it will work in your life because Jesus is real and his forgiveness is real. And he will change your life. So, Father, we thank you, Lord God, for the beauty of forgiveness. We thank you for the freedom of forgiveness, Lord God. And that person that is sitting here today that is stuck in the narrative of bitterness and anger and hostility, we pray in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that today they will come to terms with the reality that they need to bring that unforgiveness to the cross. And on the cross, Lord God, that they can say, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
And Lord, that they can begin to navigate, they can begin to appropriate the forgiveness that comes with and through Jesus, and that they will leave here today free. Free from the bitterness, the hatred, and the hostility. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
All right, if you'll stand with us as we get ready to close.
Jesus is in this room, here right now, here right now, making this place I stand, holy ground, holy ground. Your spirit moves and breathes all around, all around. All good and perfect things flowing down, flowing down. If all of the heavens are singing along with the saints and the elders, and glory. Then I'll stay here forever singing, holy, 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 Lord, God Almighty, over all. 'Cause you were, you are, and you'll be forever. Closer still, Jesus, you're guiding me to your will, to your will. If all of the heavens are singing along with the saints and the elders in glorious song, and the praises they sing never seem to get old, then
love on somebody, tell somebody Jesus loves them, and we will see you all next week.